Recording in progress.
Okay. We had started looking last time at the sugya of Amar Chibar Ashi. Again, some people have the Gersa Amar Chibar Ashi Amar Rav. Pasnuma Bekarim Varchan Olav Hamotzi. Which, regardless of exactly what snuma means, it means small pieces. And here we had a fundamental problem, which was that if you would just be pasnum of Bekara, he's continuing the sugya of Chavitza, etc., from Daf Lamed Zayin. And he's saying, even though it is pasnum of Bekara, it is still Hamotzi and not Mizonos. Why is that? So Rishonim, we're not going to repeat the whole sugya of Chavitza here. But if you remember the two factors, one from Shlokos, the Ramban quotes the Hag, that since we pass like Rav Yosei against those earlier brisos, anything cooked would be Mizonos. But excuse me, since Kar is a klisheni, it is still hamotzi. It's not considered cooked, or that's using lamed chesam and beis. The Bahag reads it, or most Rishonim read it in the light of lamed zayin beis. So give chavitza, either to say because it has torisa dinema, which is the maskana of that sugya of chavitza, or to say the Rosh brings both these out. It doesn't need torisa dinema because chavitza was cooked. And this is not cooked, or chavitza was smushed together into a chefta, does not smush together into the chefta. Okay, but however you take the previous sugya, as we learned, it works out that pasnuma bekara is hamotzi. Sounds like what the bracha is. And then Frachia argues, he says, no, the bracha has to finish while there is still a whole piece of bread, or at least a large piece of bread. And he seems to think pasnuma bekara is Mizonos. The only problem is that is, and then Rav would be agreeing with him. The only problem is that that's impossible. How can you say pas hatznuma bekara is Mizonos? We know from the previous sugya that even if they're small pieces are still hamotzi as long as they have teresa dinam or whatever the requirements are. So again, here, what do we have here? We had the here of Chia Bar Ashi. And here is the shot. You know, at least Rav Chia Bar Ashi, that he hold the bracha on pas snuma bika'ara is hamotzi. But in that case, Rabbi Chia, who is pligon, would have to hold that the bracha on pas snuma bika'ara is mizonos, which would be too radical, which is why none of the Rishonim are willing to accept this pshat, seemingly, as Tosa says, sorry, the idaleka elitz numa, heichi palaga le Rav Chia, maskin le el peru and afishayim and zayis v'chalein hamotzi, hold the espu to reason nema. How could anyone disagree? Which is why most of the Rishonim don't like it. So what does the Tosos say? I think this the Tosos in the Rashi word says Tosos that he makes an okimta. The okimta is you also have shleimim, right? Okimta yesh b'fanav gam shalim. He also has a kikar shalim. And nonetheless, he is allowed to make the bracha on the pasnuma bekara, but then Tosfos asks the opposite direction. Even if you make the okimta, then you have two problems. First, you have to make an okimta, and then he says, "V'im tomer heichi mayvi." The previous line: if there's a shlema, then everyone agrees that a shlema is better on amud beis. What does Tosfos mean? Everyone agrees a shlema is better. Because there's machloks Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, but Tos says on the base machloks Rav Huna Rav Yochanan is only when the broken bread is bigger than the shalim bread. But everyone agrees that the shalom bread is bigger than the broken bread. If the shalom is bigger than the piece, everyone agrees, according to the way Tosfos on base, there's no daya that a prus is better than shalom if it's smaller. Here it's clearly very, very small. So Tosfos says, he has to make another assumption. The assumption is, seems to make it equal. The assumption is Pasnuma Bakara is Chaviv. Why it is Chaviv is not clear. Maybe we just don't know how delicious Pasnuma Bakara is. But what does Tosa say? Tosa says that Chaviv is equal to shulling in Hashivas, and that's why you can give her on the Chaviv. And then Rav Chia argues and says, no, you have to read a little N, only says is, you have to complete the bracha while the pas is still shulling. What he means is, even if there's competition of Chaviv. No, shulling is better than Chaviv. Shalom is better than Chaviv. We know Shalom is not better than everything we'll see in other days. Shalom is not better than wheat, but Shalom is better than Chaviv. Okay, that's how Tosfos reads it. The Rush, I think we mentioned, the Rush very cleverly says, I'm going to make less of an Okenta. Agav, by the way, is this such a super Dachuk Okenta that Tosfos says he also had other bread before him? So it seems like a big okemta. The Ra'ah might intend, if I'm reading him properly, he says, okay, what does he say? He says, I'm not 100% sure, but I think this is what he means. Ah, pasnuma b'ka'ara, meaning the pasnuma is in the ka'ara. Outside the ka'ara, there's other kind of pas. So maybe that's a smach for Tosfos Okenta. The pas, I mean, again, simple pshat, pasnuma b'ka'ara is telling you maybe that it's a klisheni, if you hold that a klisheni would be a problem. Or just that's how they ate the pasnuma. They would only make pasnuma because of the ka'ara. But maybe you could think the pasnuma is in the ka'ara. There's other bread outside the ka'ara. In which case, you could have a smach for Tosfos Okenta. And you could say it's not such a crazy Okenta. In any case, the Rush prefers, not, and most versions of Tosfos, most Rishonim who quote Tosfos, quote the Rush's version of Tosfos. If you look in the Tosfos of Rush, in the Tosfos of Yehuda Chassid, he has the Rush's version, not our printed version. And most Rishonim who quote Tosfos, quote the Rush's version. For example, the Rashba, right? That was on the Makoros. I think the Rash were quoted Tosfos. The Rush and what do we have? We have the Rashba B'Shem Tosfos because it's Machlokes and the Tosfos. They're almost the same shot, so it's not so crazy. That's Machlokes. It's a slightly different Okimta. This is a very easy Okimta. The Okimta is She Pirer Hapas Miyad, or, let's say, Pirer Hapas, Samach, Lifnei Habracha. Okay. Pirer Hapas, he didn't crush this bread yesterday, 3 hours ago. He broke the bread and right away made the bracha. And what is Rechi Rash saying? Saying, of course you need to make a bracha on a shulling, because the chashivas of a bracha requires a shulling. But it doesn't have to be a shulling when you say the bracha. As long as it's a shulling when you start preparing to say the bracha, that is good enough. So he says it counts as shulling if it was shalem when you started the process of the bracha va'achila. You want to make the bracha and eat. To make the bracha and eat, you want to get it ready in the ka'ara and they make the bracha and eat. That counts as a bracha and a shali. So it was shaling 30 seconds ago. You were just, it wasn't shaling yesterday. It was shaling in this inyan. You didn't have any heskadas. It was shaling. You didn't do anything else. And then you just prepared and said the bracha. That counts as shaling. And then, Rabbi Akiva would be very, very meduyah. Sarsha tichla bracha mapas. Then Rome goes further. You know, to have shalim, it's not enough to have shalim within, samach, within miyad of saying the bracha. It's not enough to have shalim without any hefzik till you say the bracha. No, you need to have shalim mamish when you say the bracha. Then Rabbi goes further. It's not enough to have shalim when you say the bracha. You need to even have shalim when you finish the bracha. No, it only counts as shalim if it's shalim when you start the bracha, and then Rava comes and goes even further and says only for shalom when you end the bracha.
Tosfos, the Rush also has a lotion of not just shalom. He says, oh, tzitzin gedolim. Doesn't have to be necessarily shalom.
Correct. It could be that this you know, I guess I'm being a little lavdafka now, but I'll point that out. You're right. That's the Rishonim say there's also a Milut and Gadol, not only in Shalim. I'll mention that again, but Torah, he's at least bringing in Shalim, as opposed to who? As opposed to the Ra'ah and the Ritva. What do the Ra'ah and the Ritva say? And what's the assumption of these Rishonim? The assumption of these Rishonim is that no one's going to go against the rule of Shalim. It's just whether Chaviv competes with Shalim or what time it needs to be Shalim. Right? What all of these have in common is that no one denies the value of Shalim. They're just arguing about details. What about shalim versus something else that's important? Chaviv. Chaviv comes up later on. The Mem Aleph and Aleph as a refer-something for a bracha. You understand? You want to make a bracha on something shalim that chashiva is covered for Hashem. You make a bracha on something which is shalim. Shalimus is very, you know, should be close to anything involving Hashem. On the other hand, Chaviv. You want to make a bracha on Hashem on something you're excited about. So you really feel Hashem's chesed. Okay, so that's a machlokas, or exactly what it has to be shalim. See that being a machlokas. What do the Ra'ah and Ritva say? They make the okimta that you have other bread, but...
But it's not shalim.
Exactly. You have other bread, but it's not shalim, it's just gadol. Right? Yesh bifanav sisim gedolim avalo Hashlima. You don't have if you had shalim, no one would have argued. Like Tosos says, what does Tosos start with? Kuli alma shlima adif. Everyone agrees shalim is better, all else being equal. Right? You if shalim, everyone agrees would be better. No one here has argued on the value of shalim. Rather, they're arguing on the value of gadol. If this is not shalim and that is not shalim, who says? Now you're right. Some of the other, like the Rush of the other Shabbat, also said through this in. If this is not shalim, that's not shalim. This is tiny pieces made into some sort of dish, and this is half of a lachmaniya left, or a sliced angel's bread. Okay, what's the difference? They're both not shalim. They're equal. That is the day of Rav Kiyah Bar Ashi. Once.
But the petitim, neither. But the petitim have to be bigger.
I said petitim gedolim.
More than the.
Gedolim means more than the pasnum agara, yeah. Right? Yeah. Pasnum agara is talking very small. Once neither is shalim, there's no value to bigger pieces. Yeah, if it's not shalim, it's not shalim. Who cares if it's bigger or smaller? And what does Rav Chiyah say? He says, no, tzor shetich lebracha im hapas. There is value to being bigger. The value to being bigger is that you have to be able to break it when you say the bracha. And then Rav nitpicks and says, you have to be able to break it after you say the bracha. The pasuk in the Torah was so small, you couldn't break it, right? Well, pretty much every every one of the Rishonim assumes that at least it's probably pieces less than a kazayis. Okay, you can't really break those. Or it's not considered breaking, it's not considered significant. He says, no, there is still the gadol. You still have to say the bracha on the big piece because, you still have to say the bracha on the big piece because there's a chiyuv. All right, I'm going to mislead a little here. You still have to say the bracha on the big piece, but I want to fit into Rechia's Lashon, because Sarsha Tichla Bracha Mepas, right? Because you need Bitsia during or after Lefi Rava, the bracha. Right? And therefore, the Pasnum Makara, even though neither one is Shalim, one of them is bitziable and the other one is not. And therefore, you have to pick the one that is bitziable. And this is nothing with Shalim. Shalim, everyone agrees here that you need Shalim.
So there are two possibilities, the way to understand it. The Maisa Bitzia is
okay,
critical.
Very, very, very true. There are two possibilities how to understand this. And as Eitan points out, even the Rush, who does not take this approach, he says it's really about the time that you break it, also admits that a bigger one beats a smaller one. Why is that? That is a great question, which I wasn't going to bring up yet, but now that you brought it up, yes, Lachkor. By the way, Halacha Lemaisa, let me just read you from the Shulchan Aruch, says the, from the Mishnah Berurah, says the Mishnah Berurah, and Hovetzias HaPas, Va'afilu priprus, what does Shulchan Aruch say? Shulchan Aruch says, don't break it till after the bracha. Like bracha, right? You can see after the bracha. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Afilu priprus lo yachtoch v'gamri kodim ha-bracha k'deshe in yoril. Even if it's a prusa, even a slice, you still shouldn't break till afterwards. Like Rabbi Chiya and Rava, it's not only a matter of shalim. It's not that they were only arguing about shlemus. No, you could have said they're only arguing about shlemus. But he says no. Even a slice, you shouldn't break until afterwards.
Is this going to cause us a problem for the new sugya that the titin and the shlemim?
No.
Is this the same titin or this is different?
This is the same titim, and we're assuming like Rabbi Yochanan, the shleimim would be titim, shleimim would be pastuma. The question is, what about titim versus pastuma? So yesh lachkor, why? If you told me shleim, I understand. Shleim is a maila, but why? Even if it's not shleim, so yesh lachkor. One shot is, it's the same idea as shalim. Shalim is very chashuv, and you don't want to lose that chashivas. Gadol is also chashuv, and you don't want to lose that chashivas. Not that the metziah per se is significant. It's just that you don't want to lose the chashivas of gadol, right? That was one side of your chakira. Why? Because gadol is chashuv, you know, almost like shalim. I would say like shalim, just not as much, right? Right, gadol is chashuv, and you don't want to lose the chashivas before the bracha, right? Because you want to make a bracha on something chashuv. That is what the Mishnah Berurah himself says. Ends the Mishnah Berurah. You know why? V'afil v'prusul yachtov v'gamri kodem ha-bracha. Even a slice, even a half a lachmaniyah, you shouldn't break into the piece you want to eat before the bracha. Why? K'dishya nira yosir g'dola. So it will look big when you say the bracha, because looking big is chashav, not as chashav as shlemos. Shleimus is a bigger chashivas. Then, well, that's according to Tosas, that's the machlok of Rav Yochanan. But we paskin Shleimus is a bigger chashivas than Godless, but Godless is also a chashivas, and therefore you don't want it to look small when you say the bracha. You want it to look good. That's also a chashivas, not quite as philosophical as Shleimus, but it's also a chashivas. Okay, we in this world, you know, we admire Shleimus. We also appreciate Godless. And that's what the Ra'ah and the Rit for themselves hold. If you look at the Ra'ah, says the Ra'ah, the Gemar Bracha Be'inam B'chashivusei the Pas. At the end of the Ra'ah, that's not a notion. At the end of the Bracha, the Pas still needs to be Choshev. V'achim Be'inam B'tziyah. You should only do B'tziyah after the Bracha. Why? Not because the mitzvah itself is significant. Ligiluya chashivus daipita to show the chashivus of this bread. The chashivus of ki'ika kuli haid dechazi lemivtza. That it's chashivus when there is so much, such a big piece of bread that it's fit to break. It's big enough that you have to break it. That's chashivus. So he says, why do we need the mitzvah afterwards? Not because we care about the mitzvah per se, but because we want to show how chashuv this bread is. We're not making a bracha to Hashem on garbage. We're making a bracha to Hashem on something chashuv. How chashuv is it? It's so chashuv that it's big enough that you break off a piece. So it's just for the chashivas of godless. And interesting, he says, and what's the greatest godless? No one's taking a tape measure. Godless is if you need to break it into pieces, then it's obviously very big. So that is the, let's say, less mechudish side, if you would agree with my evaluation of Abi's Chakira. The Ritva says the same thing. He says, Elo Amar Ravam Varchmer Achar Tashlam Kolabracha Botsei at the end of the Ritva here. Why? Why do you make the Betsi after the Gemara Bracha Be'inam Chashivus to the Pas? Because you mean the Pas Lichoshim at the end of the Bracha. And that's really what comes out of Rava's Lashon. Maskifla Rava, Maishnat Snuma Delo, Mishnah the Yikalia Bracha, Pruzga Kalia. Why are you against making the Bracha on Snuma? Because at the end of the Bracha, it's on pieces and not on a whole thing. Al pasnami kigamra pusa gamra. Even on a full loaf of bread or a big loaf of bread, if you break it with haaretz, then when you finish, it's going to be already broken. Elam rabra, it sounds like the problem is like you just want it to be good at the critical moment. And Rakia says the critical moment is like the middle beginning of the bracha. And you know, get to the other banka achas. And Rabbi says the critical moment is at the end of the bracha. So this is the Ra'ah and the Ritva and the Mishnah Brura, the Chulei. That's clearly the mainstream shot in the Rishonim and Poskim, that there's no magical power to the Betziah. It's not that you want to do a Kiyum Betziah. It's just that you want it to be bigger rather than smaller, so it'll be more chashuv.
Two questions. Why would Efshar Litzoa be the threshold of large? Why don't you say, yeah, the bigger thing, make a bracha? They seem to think there's just one threshold of large and small.
So in the Rishonim and Beis and Rashi and Ravinu Tam, it already sounds like, no, just larger the better. In the Ritva and the Ra'ah here, they say that's the threshold. But I'm not going to answer your question. You know, there are two ways to answer it. You can actually answer the question, or you could just sort of restate it in a way that you think sounds more convincing. But that's how do you know what's big and what's small? It's reasonable for me to say small is bite size and big is you have to cut it. I mean, that's, I think if it's too big to fit in your mouth, that's already big. I think it's intuitive. Okay. Of course, the other option, which is not mefurish in the Rishonim here, is that maybe there is a Kiyum of Betzia. What does he say? Tsarsha tichle bracha im a pas. Right? The bracha has to end at the moment that the pas ends and becomes, you can take it different ways. You can take simplified tsarsha to the bracha and pas. As you're finishing the bracha, you need to have a full bread there. It's all about the chashivas. What Amy's suggesting is maybe there's another tzad. Maybe no. There's some importance to having a Betzia. Not just having a betziah, meaning you could have done the betziah an hour ago. There's some important. I mean, eventually, you have to have some sort of betziah to eat. In most cases. But there's importance to having the betziah connected to the bracha, right? As opposed to doing the betziah an hour ago, setting the table, then coming and saying a bracha. There's importance to the ritual, the kiyum of betziah. Maybe there is a kiyum Bitsias hapas. Bitsias hapas. Bibracha, let's say. No, part of the key in the bracha is that it's not just the bracha goes on the bread. The bracha goes on the metziah of the bread. And that is some sort of kiyum. Okay, that's not what the Ritva here is saying. That's not what the Mishnah Berurah says. That is a... Why would that be, by the way? Why would you need to have a kiyum? Again, I'm not asking why you need to break your bread. You might need to break your bread because otherwise it's awkward to eat. Why would there be a specific need to break your bread after the bracha or during the bracha and not an hour ago? Like, what would be the bracha advantage of that? What's a svara? Okay. Yesh la'ayin. The in Nigla, we definitely don't find this idea of bitsia by other things. I don't think anyone says when you say ha'etz on an apple, there's a kiyum of bitsia of the apple integrated with the bracha. I've never heard of such a thing. If you want to say that you need shleimus in the apple, maybe. You know, achronim say that. There is a concept, I guess I would say there is a concept called bitsia sapas, right? There are hilchos bitsia sapas. And I'll speculate here. I'm speculating without a very, very strong basis, I admit. You know, if I wanted to, you know, I hope that this was not in the chorus, but maybe there are Rishonim who talk about the importance of Betzia and don't end like they were on the Ritva, because you need to have... because you need to have something big. For example, says the Meiri, Kol Shaisa Sam Prusas Pas Haruya She Rashay Liv Tsova Mimenu. And if you have a piece big enough to break, Avishay Nashlema Butseya Menu Rach, even if it's not Shalom, it takes precedence over the Pasuma. And you break it. Shadin hamotzi liyosu mevarich yachakach botzea. Okay, that sounds a little more like Abi. Again, you could say he means because of the Mishnah Berurah's reason. You know, it's always hard to prove that something's not for a more technical reason. But it is interesting. The lashon of the Meiri here is, I'll read it again. As long as you have prusas pastets reuya sheirashi levtsomi menu, as long as you have a choice, small pieces and pieces big enough to break. Even though neither one is shaling, botzeh mimenu mevarich. Shedin hamotzi liosu mevarich erkarkach botzeh. The din of hamotzi is to be mevarich and then botzeh. Now, again, he might mean to have the maila of gadlus and chashivas, but the lasha might sound like it's a din.
The thing is, bread usually comes in loaves. It starts out with loaves, and it's something that you. Normally, you cannot eat it the way it starts. You have you have to cut it to finish it to make it available for you to eat. And that's why the bracha has to be on the final part of it to make it available to eat.
But that according to your saying, the opposite, that dafki should be able to say before the bracha, so the bracha is on something good to eat.
No, I mean...
Which is the Ravid's Hezber and Rav Huna and Amid Beis, but it's not going to help us here at all. Right? You're going the opposite. You're explaining why Adrabi should have broken it beforehand. But I'm trying to explain why we possibly should break it afterwards. Give me a second. Din hamotzi hu liosu mevarich. Shedin hamotzi hu liosu mevarich. Ve achar kach botseya is his lashon. And then he says, you know what the problem is? You know what the problem is pasdum v'kara? They're already bitsua. They don't see achar bracha. He sounds more like the kiyum of bitsia achar bracha. Although I fully admit someone wants to come and say, why are you making a new shita? He's just saying the same thing as everyone else in slightly different words and, you know, just, you know, dancing around a bit. But it sounds like the din is to have a bitsia after the hamotzi as a put. And it's an interesting question. Why would there be a din of Betzia Achar Hamotzi?
According to the Rav, the Hamotzi, and maybe the Ravid,
that amotzi is not so much just a bracha on the food, but on the start of the suda. So you might need some act to start the meal.
Okay, I was waiting for someone to say that. I figured it would be you. Remember, we had this hakira earlier. We had this idea. Is amotzi lechem in haaretz a bracha on bread similar to the way vore pri haetz is a bracha on the fruit? Or is it a bracha on a meal? Birkas hasuda. And we said if it's birkas hasuda, that might explain why, according to the Ravid, if it's a piece less than a size, you never say hamotzi. If you're eating less than a size, you never say hamotzi. That would explain why it potters the other food during the meal, and maybe it's not the regular rule of ikar v'tafel, etc. That would explain why, you know, you only say it on a surah of pas that is the type you normally eat for meals, that you're koveya on. So maybe you could say, if it's a birkas hasuda and not a bracha on a regular chefza of pas, bitziah represents a suuda. Right, there's a whole ritual with Tzias HaPas. I don't know. We're not the Hasidim grow up. They're much more educated in the ritual of Tzias HaPas. There's a whole simon in Shulchan Aruch. There's a whole story right in Sanhedrin about all kinds of strange discussions between Amorayim and. People who may or may not have a chiluk in Olam Haba, as to exactly which part you should break off and start eating from. There's a lot of discussion of Betzias HaPas. And it could be that Betzias HaPas represents a suda as opposed to just eating. Eating, you eat. Bitsia is a ritual of having a meal. It's a more formal act of a meal. What would a Bitsia Sapas really mean? Now, here, this depends a little on Reb Zera that we didn't get to yet on the bottom of the Testament base. How much do you break off? Right? There are different sheets of Bitsia Sapas, and Reb Zera seems to be a chalik between weekdays and Shabbos. You break off a little piece, and then break off a little more, and then break off a little more. Or do you break off the amount you want to allocate for this meal? But Tzias HaPas, when you're sitting with other people, was a very, very big deal, because we don't appreciate this at all. You know, but once upon a time, you lived off bread, and there was never enough bread to go around. And Tzias HaPas was, I guess, the equivalent now, right, of deciding on the national budget for the next fiscal year, right? Who gets how much resources? But Tzias HaPas was a very big deal. That's where, again, this is very foreign to us. That's where you would honor someone by giving them more food, and you would start making all these cheshbonos, right? Who deserves how much food, etc. It's where the dynamics came out. Even if you're eating by yourself. You know, but Tzias HaPas is still more formal, like deciding how much to allocate for a suuda, etc. So it could be that if you're talking about a birkas hasuda, then maybe the betzia needs to be during the bracha or after the bracha, machlosim erchia and rava, because the bracha needs to go on the betzia to make it a birkas hasuda and not just a bracha on a, you know, certain 1 ounce chefza similar to a blueberry or a meatball. So perhaps that may be the svara. That we'll see. What?
I remember correctly, the Rama brings the dinner to see us a pasta that deals with uchasuda.
Interesting. In the paragraph of Birkas Hanenu, all he says is Mevarech Berchakas Botzea. He quotes Rava very, very succinctly. Again, what does he mean by that? Does he mean Mevarech Berchakas Botzea because you want the Maila of Shlemus / Godless? We can't be sure which way he means because he doesn't do it with so much detail. Or does he mean because we'll have a whole Hilchasuda and I want to connect that to Hilchasuda, maybe because Hamotzi is Birkas Hasuda, and the act of Suda is the Betzias HaPas. Betzias HaPas represents a Suda as opposed to an Achila. Okay, that is an assumption. We'll have another possibility, but not Opi Nigla. soon. But the let's go. Let's go back to. We'll come back to this soon. Let's go back to the Gemara. We have one or two more pshatim in the Gemara. The Rashba first quotes, and it's really the Raivid. He just develops it a little more. The Rashba first quotes. No, he's more radical. He says, you know what? Rav Chiya bar Ashi in his first shot, his second shot is Tosos. But the Rashba's first shot, which is really the Raivid in Zasaga Kosov Sham, that's the nickname for Zasaga, so a little more here. Really just says Ve'ikal Meimar Dehachad Ikabasnuma Pashlema. Same okimta as Tosos. Vafiloach gamer v'chivur Ashi di boim v'rachatzum meimich hashishleima kirav huna dipsisim shleimim va'adifa midrav huna. Like Rav Huna, but really going further than Rav Huna. Meaning, Lavdafka Rav Huna would go so far. What does the Rashba in his first shot? And this is the Ravid on the, you know, some of the Rishonim are not so clear exactly what they say, but this is pretty clear that this is what the Ravid is trying to say. On the Balamor, he starts with getting back to all the Chavitza Sugya, and then he says, he doesn't say so explicitly, but he says, okay, the locker of Chia the boy but see Alechem Gadol in Paris bin Shalim. To show that you can make a brach that's Numa, you don't worry about Lechem Gadol, whether it's Paris, whether it's Shalim. He just seems to say, we just don't care, right? So here they are a little more radical and says, Rav Chiya bar Ashi denies the value of Shalim. No, he really doesn't care. Obviously, he doesn't care about Gadol either. Right, he doesn't care about Shalim. To not care about Gadol is not such a big chiddush. To say Gadol anywhere explicitly on in Shas, they never explicitly said in Shas Gadol is better. That's just a theory. But Shalim, okay, so he denies Shalim. He's like Rav Huna, and maybe further than Rav Huna, because maybe Rav Huna only says you can forego Shalim in certain circumstances, as the Ravid will say a little later. But what's the Okimta? The Okimta is the same as Tosos, but the Svara is different. The Okimta is Yesh Bifanov Gam Pashalim, and you know, let's add maybe Tos another Okimta. Upas Numa Bikaara Chaviv Mianu. This is more Chaviv saying no. Yes, he has Pashlema, and nothing to do with Chavivas. He doesn't mention the word Chaviv. There's no reason to bring that in. He just says that there's no value to Shlemus or Godless. Bread is bread. Bread is bread. Bread is bread. There's nothing to talk about. And then Rav Chiya comes and says, you're fundamentally wrong.
Again, is this going to be connected to the following sugya?
Yes, it will be. Oh, and let's try to come back to it. And then he says, not true. Therefore, we need, you need shleimus or, excuse me, he says no, shalim or, it's not clear exactly why, but you have to say the shalim. I guess you really have the same question here. Let's just stick with shalim for the sake of argument. The shalim is better. Right? He says there is value in shalimus. Again, look, yes, the shalimus is the ability we don't say, but that's the... that's the basically four ways of assuming that. What are we arguing? What are all these? Rav Chiya bar Ashi is not talking about whether the bracha is hamotzi or not. Rav Chiya bar Ashi is talking about how to say hamotzi. It's pasha the bracha is hamotzi. He's talking about how to say hamotzi. And his chiddush is you can say a multi on tiny pieces. Why? Either because chaviv beats shalem, or at least ties shalem, or because even though it's tiny pieces, it counts as shalem because it was shalem a minute ago, or because there is no shalem and there's no difference between big and small and whether you can see or not, or because just well, like whoever said shalem is anything. I don't know what base Rabbi Yochanan says that. But we don't hold from this idea of shalem. We don't hold, even hold from the idea of betzia, of gadol. Bread is bread, according to the radical shita of Rav Chiya. Rashi, that makes him a little more radical. Okay. Now we get to the riff. The riff, what does the riff say about our sugya? That very, very much depends who you ask. If you ask some yourselves to the riff, and it's quite possible that many Rishonim had this more tame Gersa of the Rif, because they don't have epileptic fits over him. Then what does he say? This is what the Haggos from Alphas Yashan says on the side. Behel Zucker Rava. Okay. You didn't need the Rif to tell us that. The last line we were is Hel Zucker Rava, but of course the Rif still wants to tell us. Hel Zucker Rava, that's Pashim Shadagar to everybody. But there's another Gersa of the Rif, which we see the Rashi Beit had, and as well as others. Behelzak Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, Behelzak Rabbi Chiya Aliva de Rava. Had two strange things about it. First of all, Helzak Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, and Helzak Rabbi Chiya Aliva de Rava. First of all, what do you mean Rabbi Chiya Aliva de Rava? Apparently he thinks Rava is interpreting Rabbi Chiya and not arguing on him. The Ravid says, I'm not sure if Rav interpreting Rabbi Chiya or arguing on him, but it seems like continuation of the Gemara, they say Helchazak Rava, that he was arguing on him. Okay, but also, how could it be Helchazak Rav Chiya Bar Ashi and Helchazak Rav Chiya if the Gemara says, ooh,
Pliga.
Pliga! Gemara says Pliga. You can't have Helchazak, like two people who are Pliga. That would be very strange. No one was quite sure what to make of this riff, except for the one Rishon and one Achron that I found. I'm sure you could always find more Achronim. But the Rashbates and the Pnei Yoshua, but we'll stick with the Rashbates, who came a long time before the Pnei Yoshua, he has a short line where he says, V'harif sal mefarish d'rava asal meimar d'rav chiyah lo pligi ad d'rav chiyah. D'rabi chiyah lo pligi ad d'rav chiyah. You have to medayik, right? Rav Chiya is Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. Right. Rabbi Chiya is the second one. The Hakad Isa, the Hakad Isa, Rabbi Chilo Ayri Pasnu Mamodahu Baalashlema Mayri. What do you have to say? That Rav is coming to tell you that Upliga de. Basically, what he's saying is he's killing two birds with one stone. You couldn't have just said Halacha Ke. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi v'halacha k'Rav Chiya, Rabbi Chiya, or halacha Rav Chiya Bar Ashi halacha k'Rava. Because then it's against the pliga. However, once you say Rabbi Chiya k'depirish Rava, then you're allowed to also pass like Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. Why? Because there was a misunderstanding of Rabbi Chiya. What do you mean k'depirish Rava? There are two ways to understand Rabbi Chiya. There is our Havamina, how to understand Rabbi Chiya, and Rava wasn't arguing Rabbi Chiya and saying, I like your idea, but I'm taking it further. You got the details wrong. Rava was reinterpreting Rabbi Chiya. If Rava is reinterpreting Rabbi Chiya, then what can you say? Pliga de Rabbi Chiya, and our Havamina of what Rabbi Chiya meant. We thought he was against Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi. But in our Maskana, now that Rava correctly interpreted Rabbi Chiya, now he's not against Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi anymore. Who had a Havmina to say that? I don't mean a Havmina. Who lived in a yeshiva where other people were thinking this? The Ra'ah. The Ra'ah has a great line where he says, V'Rava lo asi l'siyue d'rei Rabbi Chiya Bar Rav Ashi. Rava's not coming to defend Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi. What does he mean? He means someone else in my yeshiva thinks Rav is coming to defend Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. But I'm telling you, I don't like that shot. Obviously, some people thought Rav was coming to defend Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. Who are those some people that the Rav is worried to tell you that they're wrong? Those some people are the followers of the Rif. Because the Rif thought
the Girsa for in the Rif.
The followers of the Rif according to this Girsa.
Yeah.
Yeah. it follows. Obviously, that gears of the riff was floating around in Ra'az time. There are people who say, well, it must be that Rav is coming to defend Rav Chiya bar Ashi. And excuse me. And the Rav is saying that's not true. The Rashi is saying it is true. And the Bnei Yeshua is saying it is true. As a matter of fact, the Bnei Yeshua says, I think this is shot in the riff. And not only that, it's the best pshat of the Gemara and Tema that everyone didn't say it. Even without this riff, everyone should have said the pshat of the Gemara. Must be Makom Yichli Min HaShemayim L'Sgadro. Must be Min HaShemayim, Hashem arranged it that I would have the chance to say pshat, because it's a Tema why all the Rishonim didn't say this most posh pshat. What's the riff saying? This is the one Gersa in the riff, right? The, I don't know what to call it. Gersa. We can call it Gersas Hadfus for Riff. I don't mean the printers made it up. The Rashbates lived before the printing press, and he had that Gersa in the Riff. But I mean, it's the original printed Gersa before the Vilna Shas people changed the Gersa and put in parentheses. What is he saying? Rav Chiya bar Ashi was just saying what he seemed to be saying. Pas Hatznuma Bekara is Hamotzi. And not Mazonos. And what did they think Rabbi Chiya meant by pleading Rabbi Chiya? They thought Rabbi Chiya meant Pas Hatznuma Bekara is Mizonos. Why? Because you can't say the Brach of Hamotzi if you don't end it with a full bread. Or the Pleiad Yeshua would say with a big piece of bread. Now, what was the problem? Why did no one say this? Because it's against all of the Aflam and Zion. The answer is, if there's really such a Shita, then you can't say this because it's against all the brises earlier, right? The brise of Prusus Kayamos, the brise of Likit Mikulam Kazayas. But if this is just a misunderstanding of Rabbi Chiya, that's okay. A misunderstanding of Rabbi Chiya could be against the brises earlier. It was a misunderstanding which was corrected in the next line. Kenes Ketasha, how can there be a misunderstanding of Rabbi Chiya that's against other sugyas? It was a misunderstanding. It lasted 3 seconds until Rabbi corrected it. I mean, in the Mahalach of Bar Gemara. It says, this is... The Havamina Lefaresh Rabbi Chiya. The having is that Rabbi Chiya is arguing with Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi on his plane as to what bracha Pas Tznuma Bekara is. You think Pas Tznuma Bekara is Hamotzi? I think Sarsh the Tichle bracha ma pas that you can't say Hamotzi if it's not a big piece of pas anymore and it's only Mizonos. I think it's only Mizonos. But then what happened? Then Rava came and said, no, that's not what Rabbi Chiya meant. Now, here, I admit, we're reading a little into the sugya. It's not so explicit in the sugya. But he says, Rava came and said, no, that's not what... that's not what Rabbi Chiya meant. Rather, what Rabbi Chiya meant is that lechatchila, you should say a bracha when it's shalem, and not when it's parus, but he never meant to say that on pieces you can't say hamotzi. He just says it's mitzvah na mavchar to say it on the shalim. And that's what the, again, that's what he says. He says, derava asulameimah derav chiyah lo pliyah derav chiyah. We had a havni Rav Chiya was against Rav Chiya. Why? They're both talking about what bracha to make. No, Hakadisa, Yidisa, they're not about the same thing. Rav Chiya Rashi is what bracha to say in Pasnu Makara. And Rabbi Chiya is about, if you have the option, what's the more mechubah, the mitzvah, the mechubah way to say a motzi? Rabbi Chiya lo ayri pasnuma. Rabbi Chiya is not arguing about pasnuma. Umoduba, he admits pasnuma is hamotzi. We thought he said pasnuma is lois. No, he admits pasnuma is hamotzi. He's just talking about a shlema. He's just talking about if you have a full piece of bread, don't break it till afterwards, because mitzvah and mamuvchar to say it beforehand. And then Rava comes and says, no, Rabbi Chiya didn't mean that broken pas is mizonos. He meant that it's a mitzvah min hamavchar to say Hamotzi on Shalem, you know, if you can, meaning you have a Shalem, you want to know when to break it, Mitzvah Mukher to say it on the Shalem, and Mistomim would also be Yadam and Beis, with Rabbi Yochanan, or maybe with everyone, depending on the circumstances, that if you have a few pieces of bread you plan to eat, it's better to say mitzvah and mufkar, to say it on the hamotzi. But that's exactly what we change our mind about. And how do we know that this is a good shot of the riff? Because I discovered the Or Zeruah put Rabbi Hananel, right? The riff is working off the Masoros of the Gaonim and Rabbeinu Hananel. There's an interesting Rabbeinu Hananel, quoting the Or Zeruah. We don't have a parish, we don't have anymore the parish of Rabbeinu Hananel, Maseches Brachos, but bits of it are quoted by the Shonim who still had it. The Or Zeruah quotes Rabbeinu Hananel here and says, Ela Amar Rava, Sar Shetichla Bracha Lapas, Kolomar. What is Rava trying to say? Im Hayapash Shleima Mivarit Netrotzea. If you have a pashlema, then say the bracha before you break it. It's better to say the bracha before you break it. I've only seen so tzumbakara, but if it's already broken or tzumbakara, omer amotzi, then you say amotzi poshet, and then take a piece of bread. Let's say, Rava's coming to say that if you have a shlema, you should say the bracha on the shlema and not break it yet. But if all you have is patsuma, then of course it's hamotzi. I think that's what he's, you know, he didn't say whether Rav is reinterpreting Ravia or arguing Ravia, but what the Rach implies, with this Rach, I wouldn't know what to say before you put the other riff, is that Rav is coming to say that of course patsuma you say hamotzi. I'm just talking about what's better if you have different options. And that's the difference between Rav and Rabbi Chiya, or in the Rif. That's the difference between what we first thought Rabbi Chiya held, and what Rav says in the end. And that's exactly what the Pnei Yeshua says. And as a matter of fact, he says, "I'm the only pshat that reads Rav Chiya Barashi Kipshuto. Everyone else reads Rav Chiya Barashi in a weird way." He says, "You say Hamotzi." Everyone else says, "You say Hamotzi as opposed to the other option." No, he said, "You say Hamotzi." And then if Rav Chiya argues, Rav Chiya must say you say mizonos. How does that shtim with all shas? The answer is, because a having a plead Rav Chiya, the maskana lo plead Rav Chiya, and that's exactly what the riff says. The maskana no one argues Rav Chiya Barashi. Why? Because Rav reinterpreted Rav Chiya, and he doesn't mean what he thought he meant. Rather, he's just talking about precedence, not about what bracha to say on dishes.
So Rav Chiya Barashi is like not a chiddush at all in the end? You're just like repeating something we know already?
Not a chiddush at all to us, because we are with those sugyas, but he lived before a lot of people talked in those sugyas, right? So he is a chiddush. Meaning, he's not a chiddush in saying that sometimes small pieces can be hamotzi. That's already braisas. But pasnuma b'ka'ara, that klisheni, klirishon, tarisa dinema, yes, we were chiddush, the details that it's still hamotzi. Okay, that is the five ways to read our Gemara. Let's move on then to Tosos, the Maskel, the Hilchos. Actually, we have to get back to one point. Yes?
I'm just confused with how you use the that line in the Raha that someone wanted to say that Rav was going to be the Thunder of Chia by Ashi. I thought he was going to be the Thunder of Chia, not of Chia by Ashi.
No, the Raha says, don't think Rav is coming to defend Rav Chia by Ashi. Or as Medayek, that means other people do think so. Who are those other people?
Right,
the people who read the riff.
But the riff says that Rava is coming to defend Rabbi Chiya, not Rabbi Chiya.
No, to reinterpret Rabbi Chiya. Why is he reinterpreting Rabbi Chiya? He's reinterpreting Rabbi Chiya in a way that he won't be pulling on Rabbi Chiya Barashi. Rava is coming to reinterpret Rabbi Chiya in a way that he'll now not be against Rabbi Chiya Barashi anymore. And no one will be against Rabbi Chiya Barashi. Okay, let's look for a second. Tosfos Maskel v'Hilchos K'Rav Baruch Acharich Motzei Peirush Shel Yafshe Prizma Pas. Tosfos has a big chiddush here, which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. What does Tosfos say? That what does it mean Mevarech Acharich Motzei? Don't separate the piece you're going to eat from the loaf until after the bracha. It says Yesh Noagin, but the question is, what about cutting? Right? What if you have a tough loaf? Right, you have a very tough loaf. You have to cut it. It takes you a couple seconds to cut it before you can break it off. So he says, what about the cutting? He says, yeshnogin, some people say, or not yeshnogin, yeshnogin, that they do all the cutting after the bracha. Why? Because they think once you start cutting, it's not shulling. But no one agrees with this yeshnogin in the in the Rishonim we talk about. And interestingly, the Rav quotes that his father paskin like these Yishnoim again. Why? Because the Rambam just says Mevarech HaKarkach Hotzeiah. Sounds like you do all the cutting after the bracha, because it's not, once you start cutting, it's not shulling. So the Rav passed like this Yeshno again, based on the fact that Rambam just quoted our Gemara and didn't start modifying it like Tosos. But the Shulchan Aruch and the Chronim passed like Tosos. What does Tosos say? The Einam Enig Nachon Lasos, that the Hesgadas bring Bracha Lachila, that he means Lachachila Hesgadas, not B'dieved. B'dieved wouldn't be Hesgadas, even bigger things than are not Hesgadas B'dieved. So the Lachachila, you shouldn't have to wait and start taking out your saw and, you know, and working to cut your bread between the Bracha and the Achila, and you should minimize the Hesgadas, one second, and therefore he says, you should cut it beforehand, but leave it attached, and then just break it off after the bracha, right? And that's the weekday minhag recorded in the Shulchan Aruch, to cut it beforehand, but only break it off. But only break it off after the bracha to minimize the hefsek.
I don't understand Hesach Hadas. Every other Rosh Hashanah, you don't daven, you don't speak between the shofar. But if you're involved in telling somebody a page, you're involved in what you're doing. Why is that Hesach Hadas?
Okay, so first of all, because there is a, we're more machmir about the getter of Hesach Hadas between the bracha and the mitzvah than between the beginning of the mitzvah and the end of the mitzvah. Right? For example, if you go to Shul or Rosh Hashanah, and you ask the rabbi, he'll tell you, of course you can say amen or et cetera, you know, between these shofar blasts and those shofar blasts, but between the bracha and the beginning of the shofar blast, you can't do anything, because that's much more chumrah. The bracha has to at least get the beginning of the mitzvah. So here also, we're not talking about in between the bread. In between the bread, you can do whatever you want. Well, within limits, you can't, like, you know, go for a walk in a forest and then come back and still use that bracha. But here we're talking about before you start shofar, we're very machmir. Even so, you'll say, is that really hesgadas? The answer is no, but the evidence is not a hesgadas. But mechatchila, we're very machmir and hesgadas between the bracha and the achila.
Because you can do even more. The minhag for Baal Tokeya is when he makes the bracha, the shofar is usually covered up. Then he has to uncover it and then take the shofar and get ready to blow it. Isn't that, I mean,
so that's thing. Because uncovering the shofar is a lot quicker than cutting the bread. You never had tough bread that it's hard. Like the standard Israeli water challahs. And you have to work to cut them, no? Anyone here? I don't know if anyone here ever ate Israeli water challahs. We're all spoiled Americans. Even the egg challahs they sell are sometimes a little tough to cut.
Even so, which is a strange thing. Like, you could say hefsek is like a correct term to say. There's a time delay. But hesel hadas is not the right term. You're focused on the maisa mitzvah, the act of eating. It's just conceptually wrong.
I hear China. I was bothered by that. Right, I was bothered by that as well. Maybe the Lashon is Lav Davka. You know, this is all chumras anyway, of course. As Tos says on Shabbos, don't do this. Obviously, it shows just a chumra. If it was really necessary, you'd have to do it 7 days a week. Okay, Tosos thinks it's a chumra of Tosos to sort of minimize that hefsek, which again, the Rav said his father told him not to do. Again, this is all weekdays. His father told him not to do L'chora. He thought that the Rambam held like the Yishnoah again. The Rambam didn't say much, but he said, say the bracha and then do everything. Why? Because once you start cutting it, it's a begam in the shleimus. Okay, so that is one sort of weekday interesting machlokes. One weekday interesting machlokes. Okay, we'll put it on the board after we finish Tosfos. Let's continue in Tosfos, though. Continuing in Tosfos says, but on Shabbos, you shouldn't even do the partial cutting. By the way, how much should you cut it on weekdays? So this is a bit machlokes, the Shulchan Aruch passing like the brush. Don't cut it too much. Cut it enough that if you pick up the small piece, you'll also lift the big piece. Because if you cut it more than that, then it's not considered shalom, it's considered broken, which we learned from Halachas of Chibur L'Tumah in Maseches Chulin, Perakot Urva Rotev. Interestingly, that Gosar Money is closer made in Baruch, that no, you can cut it up till the last bit, and it's still considered shalom, because this is a different gedder than Tumah Vatara. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Rush. I would just point out, once we're dealing with Halacha Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Tosfos, and like the Rosh says, how much should you cut it? Enough that it's cut as much as you can, but still, if you pick up a small piece, the whole loaf will come with it. The Bir Halacha points out that the purpose of this is to minimize hefsek afterwards. I'm like, are you happy? It's to minimize hefsek afterwards. And therefore, that only applies if you have bread that takes time to cut. Sometimes when I buy the challah from my kolad, it takes time to cut. However, if you have a bread that you just break chick-chack, let's say you have, for example, a pita, you just like tear it, and it goes. Then, if it's very easy to break, then it's not going to be a hefsek anyway, then you don't have to do this. Which is why it works out during weekdays. Usually we don't have the kind of challah that's really hard to cut. And therefore, lemaisa, we don't practice this so much. Because usually on weekdays, we eat bread that is, sliced bread that's already very easy to pull apart, or pitas or whatever. But if it would be something that would be take effort to cut, if it would be something that would take effort to cut, then we would still follow this tosel. I'll just read you the Lashon HaBir Halacha is, Hecha Shelo Yeach Shvirasa Akar Bracha, if it wouldn't take time to break it, like a small loaf, then you don't have to do any of this. And he quotes, that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Okay, so this is in a theoretical case, let us say it is a weekday and you're served one of these fancy challahs or some other loaf of bread that takes time to cut. Then one should partially cut it before the bracha, unless you're following Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who holds like the Yeshua.
Why are there gedarim for shalim for brachas?
That is a great question, because obviously, that is a great question. Why are there different gedarim for shalim and bracha versus, let's put it on the board now. Let's deal with, I'm going to come back to this in a moment, but on weekday. Right, what are the different shitas on weekday? There is the yesh no hagin / the gram, right? Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who is, I don't know if the Rav says he's based on the Rambam, but it goes without saying. Because the Rambam just says, but Varech Rako will say, and the Hefi should do part of the pituch beforehand. They say that shalem equals not cut at all. And therefore, I don't care if there's going to be a little hefsek of 15 seconds cutting after hamotzi. Shalom is more important, Dan. It's not really a hefsek. Why is that a different gedder than Tosus quotes, not Tosus, the Rush quotes from Chulin? The answer is because Chulin is not discussing shlemus. Chulin is discussing chibor. It's mechubar as long as you can pick up the piece and the whole loaf will go with it. Mechubar is not the same as shalom. Right? It's mechubar, but it's not shalim once you cut it.
Oh, that's going to be getting between Shabbos and weekday.
Sorry, we'll get there. What does he say? He says, because cut slightly is mechubar, but not shalim, right? Mechubar is what the Rosh calls for, Rotev, which the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like. That's mechubar, but who says it's shalim? Shalim is a higher gedder. Shalim doesn't mean the two parts are mechubar. Shalim means the two parts are mechubar and b'shlimus. Once you cut it, it's not shlimus anymore, according to the Gram.
You say according to the Gram, that it's not that he doesn't care. It's this, or that because he thinks that there's a kiyum of metzia in the bracha, so mila.
You could say if there's a kiyum of metzia after the bracha, you want the full kiyum of metzia after the bracha. That's also a very nice idea. Quite possibly, enachnami. Then there is the Tosfos, Alpi, the Rush, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Poskim, Paskin this way, who say, cut. But not, cut. What do they say? They say that, although I Tosos doesn't sound that way, but the ground could be. Tosos says, Yachtoch ad
she'im yagvia hachelek hakatan hachelek hagadol ya'ale imo. That's the rush. And what's the rush is svara? The rush is svara is that the gedder of shalem equals the gedder of chibur. If we know in chulin that as long as you pick up the small piece, the big piece goes up with it. That's all machlokes. That's how we paskin. That's considered mechubur. Whatever the mechubur is shalem. If the two pieces are mechubur, it's still shalem. Once the two pieces are not mechubur, it's not shalem anymore. And then the third sheet, this is in the Hagos Maimonios, is Tosfos al pi Rabbeinu Baruch, right? Rabbeinu Baruch, the acclaimed author of. Rabbeinu Baruch, the acclaimed author of, the author of the acclaimed Sefer Truma. Rabbeinu Baruch says that no. Yachtoch kimat ad hasof. No, you cut until it's only attached a little. Then you minimize the hefsek by only taking off a little after the bracha. And what does he say? He says, no, the getter of shalem is not more strict like the Yishnogen and maybe the Bramhol. The getter of shalem is more kal than the getter of chibur. He doesn't say anything less. Well, you're going to separate it anyway. Okay, not sure exactly what that means. He says the getter of shalem is more kal than, no, he says, no, cut almost fully is not chibur, but it is shalem. The getter of shalem is more kal than the getter of chibur for Tumah V'Tahara purposes. Okay, these are the three dales. I want to get back to this in a second, but then Tosfos goes on and says, but Shabbos is different. Why is Shabbos different? He started with the assumption that the getter of shalem for Shabbos, why do you eat shalem on Shabbos? It's part of the din of Lechem Mishnah. The getter of shalem for Lechem Mishnah, I mean, to the best of my knowledge, no separate din you need shlemos on Shabbos. The din of shlemos is part of the din of Lechem Mishnah. To lechem and shlemim. The getter of shlemos for Shabbos is more chomer than the getter of shlemos for bracha. And therefore, even though Shabbos needs shalem and bracha needs shalem, but Shabbos is more chomer. Since Shabbos is more chomer, then you shouldn't cut it at all. And that's what Tosfos says. Mi b'Shabbos nochel hachmil levar kodin sheyachtoch. Okay, why? How about Shabbos? What's the chiddush of Tosfos? Not everyone. What's the chiddush of Tosfos? Tosfos says Shabbos is different, right? That on Shabbos lo yachtoch. On why? Because din sholem le'inyan lechem mishnah is more chamor than din sholem le'inyan bracha. In what way is it more chamor? Let's go quantitatively or qualitatively. Is it more chamor in that it's just more important than shalem, or there's a different definition of shalem? Right? When I say this is more chamor, I could mean it's the same thing, but it's like nice to have it here, but really necessary to have it there. Here it's mitzvah mokhar, and here it's achiyuv. Or do I say no, it's a different sug of shlemos? So in Tosfos, is it a different sug of shlemos, or just more chamor? Just more important, more necessary.
Tosfos says you're afraid that it might...
Right, Tosfos is the same gedder. Tosfos and all the Achronim say, it's the same gedder. It's just that on Shabbos so chomer we make gzeira atu. And on weekdays, not so chomer we make gzeira atu. What do you say? You might accidentally cut too much. Shemet yishamet yadol l'tzokom shechla bracha shazil lechem mishnah. You might pull it off too early. Right, once it's already cut, it might get pulled off a little too early. So Tosfos says, what's the nature of this? What's the nature of the Chumrah of Shabbos? Tosfos and the Achronim say, it is the same gedder, but more crucial.
And therefore, on Shabbos, Gezeira Shema Yafrish HaPrusa Kodem Gemar HaBracha. It's the same Geder Shlemos, but it's like we make a Gezeira, you might lose, whatever the weekday is, Gezeira, you might mess up the Shlemos. Okay, the weekday is not such a big deal, so we don't make Gezeira. I'll just point out that that's what almost everyone in the world says, except for the El Yoraba, except for the...
Why is it more crucial?
Why is it more crucial? Because Rabbi Yochanan's lashon on Amud Beis is that sholing is mitzvah min hamufkar for bracha. So it's only mitzvah min hamufkar. But in Shabbos, you're chayiv with tzoah shteki karos.
Why?
Because Shabbos is a chiyuv of lechem mishnah, and that chiyuv of lechem mishnah is two full lechems. So it's a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv versus mitzvah and a mavkar. Chiyuv is more chamer. How do they know the chiyuv of lechem mishnah means two full lechems?
Two bread, and every bread has to be shalim.
That's what you could have said. If you weren't toast, that's what you would have said. On Shabbos, you need two breads. Why do the two breads need to be shalim? Because the general din of shleimus. That's exactly what Tosfos comes lafuki from. No. Shabbos is not that you need two breads, then the two breads need to be shalim because of the general rule of Rabbi Yochanan, shalim is what I'm over. No, Shabbos need two breads, and it's not called two breads for Shabbos if they're not shalim. Somehow, the chiyuv of lechem mishnah for Shabbos means two lechemim shleimim. Why is that? If one wanted to be more philosophical, one could say, because the whole point of Lechem Mishnah for Shabbos is though the Shabbos is the reboy of the Shefa, and Shabbos is the Shlemos. If you want to say Zichur Laman, you could say Laman was the Shlemos. If you want to say it's just, to covet Shabbos, to show that a Shabbos we have a lot, well, for your broken pieces, that's a bizoyan of Shabbos. Okay. But that you're right. You could have said, Shabbos you need two. Why do you need to be shalom? Because Shabbos you need two, and it needs to be shalom on weekdays also. It's the same din. Clearly a different din. And Tosfos is a different din, more chaver, same getter. Who disagrees? The El Yoraba, I didn't put it here, quotes the Tashbates, but they nicknamed the Tashbates Katan. There's two svarim called Tashbates, right? This one, the experience, maybe now there's computers, it's different. When you remember when you have to go to libraries to find books. It's like the first time I had
to
work
on
that. What?
You don't have to go anymore?
No, you really don't. I mean, you might have to go to the website of the library. I have a Talmud who works for the National Library of Israel in the Sefer Kodesh, and one of his jobs is to try to make sure that no one actually has to come to the library to borrow the book, and therefore on the electronic catalog, I almost said card catalog, remember? On the electronic catalog on the National Library website, they try and make sure to put like a link to a digitized copy of every book there, so that you won't actually have to go to the library. Physical libraries are not what they once were. But anyway, you remember, when you had to look up a Tashbates and then you went to the library and took out the wrong Tashbates. This happened to all of us at a certain age. So the famous Tashbates is the Rashbates that was on the Makor sheet before, right? That's Rav Shimon ben Tzemach Duran, who is the Gadol Ador, two generations, I think, after the Ran. In the Sephardic world, and he wrote besides the Pirush HaBrachos, which is a little more obscure, he wrote the very long famous Magen Avos Pirush HaPirkei Avos, which is slightly less obscure, and the Shut Tashbates, which is even less obscure than that. You'll find quoted in the halachic literature all over. There is another book Tashbates by Rav Shimshon Bar Tzadok. Both he and his father's names are different, who is a Talmud of the Merami Rittenberg, who wrote a little tiny book with like little tiny paragraphs of things he heard or saw from the Maram Rittenberg. And in that little Tashbates, that's why they call it the Tashbates Katan, they nickname it. In that little Tashbates Katan, which the El Yoraba quotes on the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, I like that idea, he says, no, it's not more crucial, it's a different getter of Shlemus. He says a different getter of Shlemus, and he says that, no, in Shabbos, even the few crumbs that come off when you start cutting it are pogim in the Shlemus. Wow. But on weekdays, not pogim in the Shlemus. Not because you want more odds of Shlemus. No, no, you want a higher level of shleimus. Here, Tosfos thinks you want more probability of shleimus. Because shleimus is shleimus. It's just, you don't want to take, you don't want 90% chance. You want 100% chance. The Tashkent says, no, it's a different gedder of shleimus. There's shleimus of kavod. Shleimus of kavod, a little cut does not take away the shleimus of kavod. And then there's shleimus of Shabbos, of Yom Shekulo Shabbos. There's shleimus of the Yom of Shleimus. The shleimus of Shabbos is a perfect shleimus. And it can't even have a little cut, be missing a few crumbs. The Prisha thinks that's also what the Ramah thinks. The Prisha, sorry, thinks that's also what the Ramah means, although he disagrees, that on Shabbos even a different gedder of shleimus, even a cut takes away the shleimus of Shabbos. So it's just two different gedder of shleimus. Again, for Tosa, it's not. It's just chiyuv versus mitzvah amavchar. Mitzvah amavchar, okay, you say maybe, maybe not. Let's try to work out chiyuv. You don't come up with chumras to take a chance on missing out on the chiyuv. You come up with chumras, take a chance on missing out on mitzvah amavchar. For the tashbeitz katan, no, it's a different gedder of shleimus. There's shleimus of the bracha. Shleimus of the bracha means it looks like a whole thing. It's bekavadik. Shleimus of the bracha is bekavadik. Shleimus of Shabbos is perfection. Right? He says it's been missing a crumb. When you saw it, you caught some sawdust, then it's not shleimus on Shabbos. There's everything bekavadik. It's bekavadik. You don't count crumbs. Versus perfect. On Shabbos is the day of perfection. It's the day when the whole world is perfect. But on weekdays, it just needs to be bekavadik. And that's similar to what the Prisha, not exactly the same, accuses Rama of and then disagrees. He says, even if you have a cut, he doesn't say missing crumbs. Just the fact that it's cut is not perfect. But on weekdays, that's good enough. So he says two different gedarim. So this is the Tashbeitz Katan and the Elio Rava who quotes it. I didn't put it because all he does is quote the Tashbeitz because no one had the book Tashbeitz before. But I don't have the book Tashbeitz at home either, but I have a computer. And the Ramah Lefi Prisha, he says it just slightly differently. He says, no. It's a different geder of Shleimus. There's a difference between Shleimus of Mechubad, Shleimus of Mechubad. If you come to my house and I offer you a banana, it's different than offering you half a banana. It's Mechubad to give you a... If I offer you half a cookie, it's a bit of a bizayon. I should offer you a cookie. But as opposed to perfection, right? I think that's covet versus perfection would be together. And so that's why it's sort of, you call it quantitative. Quantitative level of chumer versus the nature of the perfection that's necessary. That's the two ways of understanding the difference between Shabbos and weekdays, right? Maybe you would say here, covet, mechubad, versus perfect. On Shabbos, you need perfect, not just mechubad. Okay, now.
What's the idea of the chatach?
You mean the rishon, etc. Okay, the last thing I want to point out is what Tosus does not say, but the Maharshal says, quoted by the Bach, quoted by the Magen Avraham, and from the Magen Avraham, from the Bach and the Magen Avraham to everyone else, which everyone's probably seen at a Shabbos table, is that on Shabbos, we follow Tosus, we don't cut it at all first. We don't cut it, but we do
mark it.
Score it, right? That's the score? Fancy word for it? No.
Like in baseball?
No. like in stop. We mark it with the knife. We make a little mark with the knife. Says the Marshal, the Medakdikim make a little mark. Oh, sorry. Let me just finish up Tosos first. Sorry. Finish up Tosos. Tosos says at the end here, he says, some people bring a raya, they have to make the bracha before you break it from the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi says there that you shouldn't break it before the bracha because then it might fall and you won't be able to retrieve it, or it'll get dirty and you won't be able to, you know, retrieve it hygienically. And then you'll have to take another piece and you'll have to take another oil, so it'll be your bracha levatala. And so too when it comes to tormasin and pugla and etc. So he says, so you shouldn't cut it before the bracha, because if you cut it before the bracha, if it falls, then you will have a bracha levatala.
Rabbi, didn't you have the whole loaf in mind with your bracha?
So the assumption is that what's Yerushalmi saying? He says, no, If you would have the whole loaf and say a bracha, you would have the whole loaf in mind. And if one piece fell, it wouldn't be a bracha latala. But if you cut it first, then you have in mind that piece. I know after that piece you'll eat other things, but the bracha has to first be chal on one thing. That's the chiddush of the Rishalmi. Even if, seemingly, you know, even if the chiddush of the Rishalmi seems to be, even if you know you might eat more, the bracha is on this piece. And therefore, don't cut before the bracha. If you cut before the bracha, you restrict the bracha to this piece. If it falls, you have bracha latala. Cut after the bracha. Then the bracha is on the whole loaf, because who knows where you're going to cut. And if you cut one piece and it falls, then the bracha is on the rest of the loaf, and you don't have bracha latala. That's the Rishalmi. The Marsha doesn't understand Tosos. He says, what do you need to bring a proof that you should be Mivarch HaKaka Botzea? That's your Dibur HaMasko, right? The Marsha basically says in Tosos, translates to vernacular, says, dude, that's your Dibur HaMasko. You don't need to prove it from the Yerushalmi. So what do you mean to be Mivian Raya? Not to be Botzea before the Bracha. And the Marsha doesn't understand Tosos. But I saw that all the Achronim give the same shot in Tosos, which is Pasha, the right shot in Tosos. I put the Nachlas David here. I should have put the Rashash, who just says the same thing in one line. And the Tzlach, also, he's not giving you a shot word line by line. Tosos is assuming the same thing. All the Achronim say, what does Tosos mean? Tosos is Lushan, is a little Lav Davko, or, you know, or perhaps a little corrupted. I saw even one guy in the Beis Medrash had an oath of Hadar Gemara, and they fixed the word in Tosfos in their little footnotes. From the Rav Nosson Adler, the Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer, said, what is Tosfos saying? Yesh mevi'in raya for the Yesh Noagim. Some people want to prove the Yesh Noagim are correct. One of the Yesh Noagim say, don't even cut a drop before the bracha. Why are the Yesh Noagim correct? Because, if you even cut a drop before the bracha, then igloy milsa, that you only are making the bracha on this part, not that part. And if it falls, you'll have bracha levatala. So some people want to bring a raya, not that you shouldn't break it totally before the bracha. That's silly. We already paskin like Rava. You don't need a raya from the Yerushalmi if the Gemara said hilchazak Rava. Some people want to bring a raya in a live issue, the Yesh Noagim versus Tosas himself. Some people want to support the Yesh Noagim, not like I put on the board. Support the Yesh Noagim because you think otherwise it's not Fagam and Shlemos. No, that he thinks is stupid, the Yesh Noagim, or Machvin, that Shlemos. Some people want to bring a right of the Yesh Noagim from a different angle. Don't even start cutting it, because start cutting it is mentally designating a certain piece.
Yeah.
Once you designate a certain piece, if that falls, then it's a bracha latala. Rather, don't do anything. They would say, don't even make a mark, right? That's what the Tzlach says. Don't even make a mark on Shabbos. Before, he says, at least, on Shabbos. Don't even make a mark beforehand, because you don't want a mental decision as to which part you're going to eat after saying the bracha and which part not, because then if it falls, it'll be a bracha levatala.
But what, some people just start cutting in the middle. In that case, you haven't designated anything. No,
because when you start cutting the middle in your head, you know which side you mean to cut off from which. Meaning, I cut in the middle. You might say a logician and a mathematician would come in here and say, I haven't done anything. But no, in my head, when I cut in the middle, I know I cut in the middle and then I always eat the right part. Even though my actions don't prove anything, but my kavan is I'm cutting in the middle, but every Friday night for the past 40 years, I've cut in the middle and eaten the right side. And then I only eat the right side, and if the right side falls, then I make shach brach latala. Now, again, how likely is this to happen in our contemporary tables? You know, not super likely. I guess in their days, first of all, in their days, you know, there are dirt floors. It would be easier for something to fall and get dirty. Or, you know, again, I'm not sure exactly. They would eat outdoors sometimes of what their tzius was. And it's hard, you know, I've lived a long time. And I never remember the Prusa of the Hamotzi falling and being irretrievable.
They don't have big tables like this. So each one had
right, they also table. Did have a, we have a big table, we have a, you know, we wash the floor before Shabbos, etc. Okay, but whatever it may be, Rabosai, that's Pasha's the end of Tosos. The end of Tosos defending the Ishnoian for a technical reason. You don't want to cut first because that makes a mental designation which restricts your initial bracha, which creates a chashash bracha latala, but apparently Tosos himself was not, and the poskim were not convinced by that, right? And they say, nope, nonetheless. The flock was half convinced by that. He says, at least on Shabbos, that's a reason not to make a rosh.
Bali Atosus had real tables like us.
Bali Atosus, truth, you're right. They had real tables like us. Okay, whatever. Yeah, whatever it may be. Now, I just want to point out one thing. The Marshal has a chiddush. He says, and all the posts can bring this down, on Shabbos you should make a little mark, and I've seen that at most Shabbos tables I've been at. Why on Shabbos make a little mark? Obviously, what he's saying is like a mini version of the weekday. You don't want to make a big mark on Shabbos. First of all, it's pretty clear he's not like the Tashbates and the Prisha within the Ramah, etc., that it's a Pagam perfection, because even a little mark might lose a few crumbs, that would be perfect. No, it's a gzera that you don't want the whole thing to separate too soon. If you make a little mark, there's no need for a gzera. But what's the advantage of making a little mark? So there are three ways to understand the svara of the, I don't want to erase the board yet, three ways to understand the svara of the Maharshal. What does the Maharshal say? He says, Hamidaktikim, Hamidaktikim, Rosh Mim Besakin before the bracha, right? We've all seen that, right? Probably most people in this room do it. Why? So the pshat is what the Machzah Shekel says, because it saves hefsek. Why does it save hefsek? After all, you're not doing any significant cutting. It saves the hefsek of deciding how much to cut. Remember, once upon a time, it was a big deal to decide how much bread to allocate. And even on Shabbos, Shabbos didn't mean that you were Rothschild and everyone could eat as much bread as you want, even on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos, you didn't necessarily have unlimited bread. So it was a big deal to decide how much bread to allocate for the meal.
It also could be you want to find the kadim bishule part, like that was also hard.
Could be also you want to find the right part. Good point. You want to qualitatively find the right part. So it's to minimize hefsek. Says the Machzah Shekel is to minimize hefsek. What's the problem with that? The problem is that means you would make a roshem and then you cut it on that roshem. Anyone ever see anyone make a roshem before a motzi and then cut it on that roshem after a motzi?
More of a hefsek.
What?
It's hard to find a hefsek.
It's hard to find it. It's even more of a hefsek. That's crazy. But that's what the Machzah Shekel says. And therefore, the Machzah Shekel says you have to cut on the roshem. However, I've never seen anyone cut on the roshem, and then it gets backwards. It's quicker for me to just cut. Again, we don't live in an era where I'm makpid. Like, no one cares, right? You want to cut off enough for all the guests. Okay, maybe even for an allocating bread, you want to make sure to cut off enough that you can have for all the guests. I don't, just cut the whole thing, and you know whatever's left over, I'm not going to save anyway. No one cuts on the rosh. I mean, if you did, it would be counterproductive. It would be it would be backwards. So the Ketzos HaShulchan quotes. What?
Really hard cross.
How does a roshen help? I'm saying more than a roshen, cutting through the very hard crust. But he just says make a roshen, make a sign.
It's more than roshen.
Yeah. So what's the other option? The next option is the Ketzos HaChoshen. The Ketzos HaChoshen, not the Ketzos HaChoshen, not exactly his topic. Ketzos HaShulchan. The Ketzos HaShulchan is the famous Rav Avram Chaim Noah, or Chaim Noah, who is famous for defending the traditional approach to shiurim against the Chazon Ish. So the Ketzos HaShulchan, he writes that he said, first of all, the Shulchan Aruch Rav didn't mention this Marshal and Bach. The Stama didn't hold from it, and the Tzlach didn't hold from it, right? You see, the Tzlach and the Kaf HaChaim agrees the Tzlach doesn't hold from it, and the Beis Meir doesn't hold from it. A lot of Rishon Achron don't hold from this. Says the Ketzos HaShulchan, but he heard from the Tzemach Tzedek. Tzemach Tzedek once wanted to give an example of some pain that people have that shtus. Says, I don't remember what example he was trying to say. People have his kpeda shtus, but the example he used for, this kpeda shtus just as much as people who try to like cut on the roshem. That was like the avti pus of a kpeda shtus. See, so you don't have to cut on the roshem. If you don't cut on the roshem, what's the point of doing the roshem? Answer the Ketzos HaShulchan. The point of doing the roshem is, because even if you don't cut on the roshem, you mentally decided where to cut, And even if you don't see the roshim, even if you don't make a roshim, you just like move the knife, you mentally remember where the roshim was, and you cut approximately at the roshim, and it saves you the time of deciding. Again, it's, the roshim also doesn't save you. They don't mean it's even enough to save you time of cutting. So says Ktsos HaShulchan, he says it's also to minimize hefsek. But he says, no, you just cut near the roshim, and that's good enough, meaning you naturally make the roshim where you want to cut, and you cut approximately near the roshim, and that is good enough. It doesn't matter if you actually cut on the roshim or not. And then all the achronim are still have trouble, right? A lot of people didn't hold for this whole roshim thing. Kaf Chaim didn't hold for it, the Tzlach didn't hold for it, the Beis Meir didn't hold for it, the Shulchan Aruch didn't bring it down. But everyone does it. Everyone does this roshim thing. Why does everyone do this roshim thing? To minimize hefsek. But what do you mean to minimize a hefsek? Like, even the Ktos HaShulchan, you don't have to cut on the roshim, but it shows you approximately where you're planning to cut, so you don't have to think about it. None of us would sit and think about it. You know, it's not a big deal for us. We're not, we never think about these things. So a lot of the Chachamim say, no, the real reason for making the roshim, and then you could go back and say, and this is also the real reason for Tosfos, is for mystical reasons. They all quote a famous Toras Chaim in Sanhedrin. Toras Chaim in Sanhedrin says, no, the reason to make a roshim is because you want the bracha to only go on part of the loaf, not all the loaf. Exactly the opposite of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says you want the bracha to go on the whole loaf to avoid bracha levatala. Says Rosh Chaim, no, you want the bracha to go on only part of the loaf, not the whole loaf. And we don't hold like the Yerushalmi. Why? Because it's his big chiddush. His big chiddush is a shulchan. Our shulchan is like mizbeach. Our shulchan is not like the shulchan, right? Our shulchan is like the mizbeach. What's the point of the mizbeach? The mizbeach is when we offer to Hashem. He says no. And betzias hapas, it's not just that we are eating our sort of secular bread and indulging our taivas. No, he says, Remes Godel Prusamot, Shardon Hafresh, Racious, Olifos, Menachikar, Shaling, Prusa Achas, L'Shem Hashem, Ulevarech Alav. You always give Racious to Hashem. The Bikurim, you give Racious to Hashem, Mamashin, you don't eat it. The Truman, you give Racious to Hashem, and you don't eat it. The Chal, you give Racious to Hashem, and you don't eat it. Then, even when you come to make a bracha, you give Racious to Hashem by making the bracha on it. You do eat it, but you make the bracha on it. And there's a rule. What does the Gemara say about Reishis? Reishis implies sheh shereha nikarim. It's only called Reishis if there's something left. Right? If there's nothing left, then it's not Reishis. It's just everything. Which is why I can say a 50th of this is Truma, a 60th of it is Truma, a 40th of it is Truma. Nowadays, a kol shu of it is Truma. Almost all of it is Truma. But I can't say all my produce is Truma, because then it's not Reishis anymore, and then it's not Chal.
Is that the weird stuff about like you need crumbs left on the table when you bench? Otherwise, you're not going to see a bracha in your life.
That might be connected to it, although not directly. If it's probably more directly connected to is the Mishavrua brings down in Siman Kuf Samach Zayin, Sivkut and Sadi Zayin from the Shlot, it's not in the Makoros, that the piece you initially cut when you say Hamotzi, you shouldn't feed it to any. You shouldn't give any of it to a guy, because it's too holy. Okay, what does that mean? That I don't mean it's too holy that it's Bikurim and Truma and Challah, and you're not allowed to eat it, obviously. But it's somehow being makdish your achila by saying the bracha on it, and therefore it's only kedusha if it's as opposed to something else. If it's shereha nikarim, and he says that's why you have to start the mitzvah. Even now, I think if you go back to here, you could say why. Now, according to Rosh Chaim, you have a whole different shot in mitzvah. Why is mitzvah sapas so important to be connected to the bracha? Because the mitzvah sapas is all about the hakdasha of the rachis through the bracha. The bracha only works al pisod if it's a rachis, and that's why it's so important to need Betzia, I think, or Alpisod, like the Toras Chaim. But what the Toras Chaim says takes it further. He doesn't say, he's actually not interested at all in why you need Betzias HaPas. That's too easy for him. He's saying, not only do you need Betzias HaPas to have the Kedusha Chal on the Reishis, to give the Reishis Lashem, again, you're eating it, but you're giving the Reishis Lashem, I mean the Bracha on it. Not only do you, he says, you even need to start the Betzia before the Bracha. Oh, we possibly grub and do the Betzia after the Bracha. Yeah, but you need to start it before the Bracha. So at least make a Rosha before the Bracha so that you can say this part is for Hashem and this is what the Bracha is being Chal on. And then it has nothing to do with minimizing Hefsek, right? Even if you take a long time to find a Rosha, who cares? We're trying to minimize Hefsek. We're trying to make a Bracha al Pisod. Even if you don't cut exactly there. Okay, but you showed that you only want to cut part of it, or that part of it will have the Bracha.
You also have, you know, the Paul part role where the Biralacha said in the weekday you shouldn't do anything anymore.
Ah, very good. The Biralacha, so he's not facing this first time. Biralacha says there's no inyan of doing anything beforehand if it pulls apart easily. Toras Chaim would obviously disagree. He would say, no, even if it's just a pizza that you pull apart in 1 second, you should still at least make a mark beforehand because you want Risha Sheshire HaNikarim. Very good. So, the says the Toras Chaim, you know, people like so nowadays, says the, so everyone quotes him, says the Toras Chaim, no, he says, so, Lehakdish, Rachis, and Rachis means Sharani Kar means part of it and not all of it. And therefore, in order to be Makdish part of it and not all of it, you need to, his Kiddush is even before the Bracha, you need to show that the Bracha is only going on part of it and not all of it. Doesn't mean you can't eat all of it later without making a second Bracha. The initial Bracha is only going on part of it, because that part of it is the Rachis that you're giving LaHashem, and in that way, your Shulchan is like a Mizbeach.
Does that mean that would include all your guests that you have to cut all them first?
You have to cut off a piece big enough for all the guests to take their initial bite.
Before you
their eat. Initial kudais. What?
Before you take?
No, but you have to cut off the initial piece that you want to cut off.
Slice.
To be halal, no. Before you should eat before your guests, but first cut off a piece big enough for everyone, and then out of that break off or cut off a piece for you. And this is a theme which is not a chiddush, right? After all, what do we put on our bread because like a carbon?
Salt.
Salt, right? So that's also a pi-kabbalah. Meaning, in the old days, it was not a pi-kabbalah. In the old days, it was al-pi-nigla, that the bread didn't have proper ingredients. It was very poor, and you had to put salt on it so it would be tasty. Nowadays, that our bread already comes tasty, the only reason to put salt is al-pi-sod, because kol karban menchas chava melech timach. Or rather, al kol karbancha even takber melach, although I guess this is a mincha also.
Most bread has salt in it already.
I know, so that's why it's only al pisod.
That explains why many people who are nohegik al pisod before the hamotzi, there's a lot of sukkim, there's a sort of ceremony between the tel tadayim and the sod.
And this is all
al pisod.
Correct, and that's a totally different perspective of tzias hapas. There's really a kiyum betzias hapas, because the kiyum betzias hapas is part of this. Now, why is that true when you eat a banana? Because the banana is not the shulchan that's like the mizbeach. It's a suda that's a shulchan like the mizbeach. Yeah, don't imagine you live in 2024 when people have sudas without bread. And then, you know, you sort of lose that theme, on weekdays. Well, every suda is about bread once upon a time. So it's only a suda where your shulchan is like a mizbeach, where you have all of this sud. Not every time you have a snack on something. So again, that's, if we want to go back, what's betzias hapas all about? Again, the mainstream derech is betzias hapas is just about being a bracha on a sholem, or at least being a bracha on a gadol. If we paskin, we're mafra even on a gadol, even if you don't have sholem. But could there be kim betzias hapas? You could say kim betzias hapas makes an alumnus of the rav. That it's to make it to show it's a birkas asuda and not a birka on a bracha on just a certain chetz of food. Or you could say, I'll be so, no, see, it's a pas, when you're having a suda as opposed to just a snack, there is a whole hidden element of hakdasha there, which you're trying to fulfill, and that would have two nafkaminas. Number one, it would explain why the simen on the pas on Shabbos is so important,
against all those who say, eh, not necessary. Not necessary, or maybe nowadays, like at least nowadays, not necessary. And also be against that beer halacha. According to this Taras Chaim, then no matter what kind of bread you were eating, it had nothing to do with hefsek. So I guess there'd be two nafkaminas. If you're talking about the weekday tosfos, right? Weekday tosfos says the Tosfos, Rishonim, Mishneh Brura, Vechule. It's to minimize Hefsek, the exact same Chakira. To minimize Hefsek, says the Taras Chaim. It is for Rishas. Nafkamina is the Bir Halacha. Nafkamina is a thin bread, says the Bir Halacha. No need to cut partially beforehand. Well, obviously, the Taras Chaim would think that you do need to do it. Same exact machlokas as here, the same criteria, just he's discussing one nafkamina, and that would be the other nafkamina. Or they bring it for one nafkamina.
Why would we need to cut enough for everyone?
Because that's a din that sees hapas, is that you're supposed to take everyone into account, not just cutting up for yourself, cutting up for what, you don't care about other people?
No, I don't.
Okay, then you shouldn't ask that question. Why should I cut for myself and not for other people? That's very selfish, no? Well, the assumption is they're being guilty of my hamotzi. And obviously, right. if they bring their own hamotzi, or if they have their own rules, that's different. But if, like a shop, they're being guilty of my hamotzi, so why should I only care about myself and not about other people?
But how could they be... If I have, they have their own rules, but then they're answering humming to my brother.
No, then I only cut for myself. Then I only cut for myself.
Why? When they,
because
they're being yotzi with my brother.
Because they have their own betziah. Yeah, they're being yotzi with my brother, but they have their own betziah. If they're being yotzi with my betziah, I need to be yotzi for all of them.
Could that be enough for me to know whether or not the betziah didn't touch themselves with the brother or didn't sue them or racious? I mean, should you have to do a betziah that's made up for everyone?
Ah, that's interesting. It was just written. No, but the point of Rish is that this piece is super kadosh. You want everyone to get the super kadosh.
Both of those, Rishis and the Rav, has to be everyone, but it's just about the Chashivas of the Bracha, the Shemian Shalom or Gobo, why not to cut enough for everyone? The Bracha is still Chav.
Yes, but it still might be true. It's Derech Eretz that I should cut for everyone. Yeah. Right? Meaning, why should I cut for myself and, you know,
I'm saying, is there a need halachically to
cut? Maybe you need al-tochas that hurts of suda.
Not me din.
Correct. And
why wouldn't I? Why would I be able to eat the rest of the bread after this? Then, from setting aside this part.
Because the hamotzi is going on this food. Once the hamotzi goes on this food, it extends to other food as well. The hamotzi is chal on this bread, and then it also extends to other bread, but it has to be chal first.
I thought we said
it was that's a
chiddush. That's a chiddush. On this one part, that's the lafugadilah.
Now you're kavanah of what's initially chal on, but once if that gets lost, you're dead. Bracha latalo. But as once it was chal on that, it can extend to other pieces.
Wouldn't this apply during the week as well? Would it be like
would apply during the week as well? Who said it wouldn't?
But is it based on the Maharshal?
No, because during the week we'd go further. We'd actually cut it halfway, like Tosfos.
Just to really help the top bread next to weekday
toast. Nafkamina is thin bread. Bir Halacha says no need to cut first, and the Taras Chaim would say you do need. Okay. It's not that you need new glasses, that I need new handwriting.
I don't know how much consistency you need once you say it's LP soda. But all the examples that Taras Chaim brings, the races are creating and research. And here you're being making a mantra.
Okay, you're pointing out that he's saying a chiddush. In a chanami.
No, it doesn't make sense.
In a chanami, but you can't ask these questions necessarily.
On Pesach, where we're using matzah, so really no jitsiyas apas, obviously. Is yachas connected in some way?
So on Pesach, there is jitsiyas apas. They're just, you're not going to start it beforehand. Because if you start anything, the whole thing falls apart. But is Yachatz connected to this? Yes, but probably in a different way, because what we're about to see next time in Lechem Oni, so let's leave that for next time, for the next line in the Gemara. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara, Rabbosai. Amud Beis. And this will tie into here. Hopefully we'll try to remember to tie it in.
Itmar, Hevil of them, Sisim Ushleimim. They brought in front of them to the table partial loaves, broken pieces, broken loaves, and full loaves. Amravuna Verklap Sisim Poser Ushleimim. You could or should, depending who you ask, make a bracha on the broken loaf pieces, and then potter the full loaves. Rav Yochanan Amar Shleim Mitzvah Menucha. No, it's a mitzvah. I mean, everyone agrees you're guilty to the evet, right? They're all hamotzi. Here, there's not even a safi. Everyone knows they're hamotzi. But the mitzvah Menucha is to make a bracha on the Shleimim because there's a maila to Shleimim. Okay, does Rav Huna agree to the maila to Shleimim? We will see. Aval prusa shalchito Shleimim Sarin. Devir Kolman Verkal prusa shalchito prusa Shleimim Shalchorin. Sarin. That's only for the same species. But if the prusa, the slice is wheat, which is very, the slice is wheat, and the full loaf is barley, then the chita overrides the shlemus, and you make a bracha on the slice of chita, not on the full saora. Why is chita better than saora? So much better than saora that it even overrides shlemus. Tosus is convinced because of the pasuk, eretz chita usaoras. The Torah gives it precedence, and not everyone agrees. Rabbi Yonah is convinced that it's because of what? Because it's just better. You ever try barley bread?
No.
Right. There's a reason. remember the Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim, right? That barley's a Michael Behemoth. I don't mean that it's inedible by humans, but it's not what we really want. that's the nafkamina we'll see a little further. Let's continue. There's a lot of details here, but let's try to start by just reading the Gemara. This idea that the chita prus shel chitin beats the shlema shel saorin is a machlokas tanoim, meaning chashuv versus shalim. Right, chita is more chashuv. The saorin is shalim. Tarmin batzal katan shalim, avalo chatzi batzal gadol. Rabbi Yehuda amar lo ki elo chatzi batzal gadol. If you have a choice, you have to give a certain amount of truba. You give a whole small onion or half of a big onion. Tanakhama says give the whole small onion. Rabbi Yehuda says give half the big onion. The assumption is that the big onion is more chashev. Is the big onion is much better. We'll come back to why in a little bit. And therefore, the Tanakhama holds that shalom beats chashev. My love, Hakamifli, the Marsha Rechashav, the Marsha Rechashav, Adif. Rabbi Yehuda holds Chashav Zadif, and like the Gemara had just said, but the Tanakhama holds the Shalom is Adif. Again, what the Gemara just says. No, Hechli, Kohen, Kuli, Amala, Pli, the Chashav Adif. No, everyone agrees with what the Gemara just says. If the Kohen is around, everyone agrees fundamentally Chashav is better than Shalim. And that's why the Prus Shal Chitim takes precedence over the Shlema Shal Saorin. They're arguing about a separate technical problem. If you plead like a Kohen, they're arguing a technical problem. There's no Kohen around. You have to wait for the Kohen. Everyone agrees you should give him half the big onion. But what if there's no Kohen here? There's none. Kol Makrish is Kohen Torben HaYafeh. Kol Makrish is Kohen Torben HaSkayim. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ein Torben Elamin HaYafeh. This is a known machlokes. Tanakhama holds that even though you should give half the big onion, there's a special rule when the Kohen's not here. You instead give whatever lasts the longest so it won't spoil. And everyone knows an uncut fruit or vegetable lasts longer than a cut. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you still give the best and you hope that the Kohen will come soon. You have a lot of bitacha. Amar Nachmar, yes, like me, Yerei Shemayim goes to Nishtayim, and Yerei Shemayim is Yotzei both. Umanu, who is this Yerei Shemayim? Mar Breid Ravina, he's a Yerei Shemayim in a few sugyas, who does Yotzei Nishtayim, that was his approach to Judaism. The Mar Breid Ravina, Menech Prusa, Besoch Shlema, Ubotzeya, he put the Prusa in the Shlema, and said the bracha on both of them. Not getting into details yet. Tani Tani, coming to Rav Nachmar Yitzhak, it was not just Mar Breid Ravina, it was a Brisa. What's your name, you guy who told me this price? I'm like Shalman. I'm like, ha, it's a good name. It's a good name in many ways, right? You're a Mishnah Shlema, you have good prices, you didn't make mistakes, and you made Shalom between the Talmidim, because that way you were guilty of both opinions, which not only is good for your Shemayim, you know, it's also good for making everyone get along well.
Not because he ate the Shalom all the time?
Maybe also, but that's not what it says. Okay. stopping here. We have a bit of a interesting problem here. What is the shita of, okay, Yirei Shamayim Yotzi B'dei Shnehem, who are the Shnehem?
Yes.
Who are the Shnehem? Right? Now, some of the Rishonim say, well, Shnehem could be the two types of bread. But that still begs the question, well, what are the two opinions behind it? Okay, who are the Shnehem? What are the options? I'm just trying to see Shon and the Gemara. So what are the Yotze de Shnehem? What are the Yotze de Shnehem? Yotze Yidei Shnehem. One option is Rav Huna V'Rabbi Yochanan Yotze de Shnehem. What's the other option? Well, who are the only other Shnehem around? Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Right? The difference in these two Pshatim is what's the case where Marbid Ravina was put the Prusat of Shlema Ubotzea? Was the case Psisim Ushlema? Or is the case Prusa Shel Chitin Ushlema Shel Saorim? Was it Prusa Shel Chitin Ushlema Shel Saorim? And it was Yotzi de Shnehem of Rebbe Yehuda and the Tanakama? Or is it just Psisim Ushlema? And it was Yotzi de Shnehem of the Rav Huna and and Rabbi Yochanan. Each of these possibilities has a problem. What's the problem with each? Who says which, by the way?
First is Rashi. Second.
What does Rashi say? Rashi says the first. Good. And the second is on the daf.
Tosfos.
Exactly. So here we would have Rashi. Let's call it Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos, whatever you want to call it. How about the other Rishonim? Which way does the Balamor go? With Rabbeinu Tam. And how do we know? What does the Ravid love to say? Says, what's with you and following your Tsarfatim? You and your silly Tsarfatim. And so here's Rabbeinu Tam, the Baal HaMor, and the Rambam. Because what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, he's not writing a parish on our Gemara, obviously, but the Rambam says that Im Haisa Sham Shlema Shel Saora, very, very explicitly. Who holds like Rashi? Anyone hold like Rashi, or is he lonely?
The
Ravid, exactly. He says, you Tsarfasim. And the Ramban, and the Rashba. Obviously, you could add more, but this is good enough for now. What?
Rabbeinu Chanan that I have on the side of the Gemara goes like Rabbeinu Tam and Balamon.
You have Rabbeinu Chanan on the side of your Gemara. Who quoted Rabbeinu Chanan about this? One of the Rishonim quoted Rabbeinu Chanan about this. Okay, so they have Rabbeinu Chanan. Where is this Rabbeinu Chanan? Well, we'll look for it. Okay. Now, but I said you can add a lot of people. Let us what's the problem with where's the Ravid is really upset at the Baal HaMor? What's the downside to each shot?
It's in the Rav Yoh.
Well, the Rav Yoh quotes Rabbeinu Chanan?
Yeah, that's what I have in this.
Okay, Shnayim Edim Yakum Davar. He's like who again?
The Rav Yoh quotes him. The Rabbeinu Chanan.
Like the Rambam.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Now, what's the problem with saying, why wouldn't you say it's discussing Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan? After all, I mean, that's who we've been discussing here. That's who started the sugya. What's the problem? Right? Just exegetically, if there's machlokes who've shown him how to read this line in the Gemara, it's obviously because there's no smooth parish. What's the problem, which is Exactly what the what? Where the Hilchsuka Rava? Rav Huna said, Mevorech al Hapsisim, and Rav Yochanan said, Mitzvah Namovchar and the Shleiman. Rav Yochanan said, Mitzvah Namovchar and the Shleiman. What do you think Rav Huna held? You have to make a bracha on the Psisim?
No.
Why would you have to make a bracha on the Psisim?
No, it's an option. Right? Like,
or, let's say, right, why would anyone have to make a bracha on the psisim? Say the Balamor and Rabbi Natan say no. You can't. Let's say you can't say one because Rav Huna lets you make the bracha on either one. So you can be Yotze Yidei. You know what you have to do to be Yotze Yidei Shneam? All you have to do is? Right, exactly. With just the Shalem. After all, why would Psisim possibly be better than, I'm going to say Shleim might be better than Psisim, or you might not care. But why would Psisim be better than Shleim? And basically, the challenge of all these Rishonim is, we have to figure out why Psisim is better than Shleiman. And obviously, not obviously, you might either have to make an Okemta or have some insight. Somehow, right, must be that Rav Huna held Psisim are better. And it's a machlokas, as we're being atomic, because Rashi ibn a katza la katza. We don't know it's davka the shleim better than psisim, or is it no davka the psisim are better than the shleimim. Okay, so what's the downside of the second shot? Why not say it's the machlokas tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda?
Size matters.
Because? Because it was nivcha. Kita, Rabbi Yehuda says kitanai, and then what do we decide? It's not the machlokes tanaim. Everyone agrees chashuv is adif. There is no machlokes about chitun and sorin. It was a half mean that there's a machlokes. And really, there's no machlokes if there's no kohen. You wonder if you should save it for him. The machlokes is the machlokes between, I don't know, Litvox and Breslovers. Or maybe Shammai and Beis Hillel, depending on which side you want to take. Do you say, well, the coin's not here yet? We have to be responsible and think about the future, and therefore we're always mafresh where we'll last the longest, having nothing to do with regular rules, Tanakama. Or Rabbi Yehuda, I'm worried right now, I want to give a really, really nice truma. When the coin comes, I'm sure it'll work out. But what's the problem? They would say, no, you can't say two, because Kitanai was only a havamina. And really, there's no machlokes about chashuv v'shalim. We thought chashuv v'shalim is a machlokes. There's no machlokes. That machlokes is miskayim. Obviously, miskayim has nothing to do with brachos. Those are saying the coin not being here and needing to save it. Right? So there's no machlokes. How can you say yotzei yidei shneim if there is no yidei shneim? Okay, what are they going to say back? I'll just end with this. You'll tell me which Achronim said this explicitly.
Sure.
What do they say back? What do they say back? They say, even though Kitanoi was rejected, what do they say back? Getting a little late. Should I leave this for homework? We haven't said. Okay. I'll leave this for homework. Start of answering this for me next time. Okay, we'll have to continue next time, Yitzhak Hashem, with finishing up the sugya. There's a little more to see about the sugya as well. So we'll finish up the sugya next time. I'll send out some more makoros on this. On the sugya as well. There's a lot of details in Tosos, so I'm not going to be able to go into all of them. I'll try to make reference to the most difficult ones to understand. Okay, we'll even try to start the Indian of Pesach if we can next time.
Svarot HaFuchot that
Svarot HaFuchot.